Emerald green dress shirt with bright pink tie. Color clash in Tom's world is highly offensive.
Fabulous, isn't it?
He strokes his tie. No, it's not. In fact, it's a crime. If I were looking for an interior designer and Tom turned up on my doorstep, I'd shut the door in his face. Where's Victoria? I ask.
Appointment in Kensington.
He throws his man bag on his desk and takes his glasses off to clean them on the tail of his shirt. Did you find out what happened?
No, he slumps into his chair. She moped and sulked all day.
He leans forward and scans the office.
Hey, what do you make of our Sal?
He's noticed too. It's hard not to. She had a date, I whisper loudly.
No, he gasps.
He puts his glasses back on in a dramatic gesture that suggests he needs to see my face given the news. It's ridiculous. They're a fashion statement and Tom's attempt to appear professional.
Yes, and a second date tonight, I nod.
His eyes bulge again.
Can you imagine how boring he is?
I recoil, suddenly feeling extremely guilty for engaging him in such a conversation.
Don't be a bitch, Tom, I scorn.
Sally walks through the office, stopping our gossip dead in its tracks. Tom raises his eyebrows and grins as he follows her path to the photocopier. If I were close enough, I would kick him. He turns back to me, catching my disapproving expression, and holds his hands up.
What? He mouths.
I shake my head and return to my computer, but my peace is short-lived.
So, Tom calls from his desk, Victoria tells me you've moved in with Mr. Ward.
I look up from my screen in shock and see him casually flicking through a catalogue.
How does she know?
Of course, Drew. I've not moved in with him, and I need you to be quiet, Tom. I carry on deleting junk emails.
Fancy that, living in the 10 million quid penthouse that you designed,
he muses thoughtfully, still flicking pages.
Shut up, Tom.
I glare at him when he lifts his eyes from the catalogue that he's not even reading. He takes the hint this time, shutting up and carrying on about his business. I don't know how I'm going to get around this with Patrick. It doesn't look very good, me dating a client, and all I need is Tom blabbering off in the office for all to hear. As 5 o'clock hits, I sit tapping my pen on my desk, deep in thought, and I have a bloody fantastic idea. I jump up from my desk and quickly clear it of drawings and files, then grab my bag and flowers and head for the office door.
I'm done. See you tomorrow, guys,
I call, as I all but sprint out of the office. I have half an hour. I can make it. I head for the tube and to my intended destination. After my last-minute shopping trip, I run from the tube to Luso. I need to be showered and ready before Jessie gets home. I bypass any conversation with Clive and jump into the elevator, puffing and panting from my exertion. My poor body has really taken a hammering today. Flying into the bedroom and throwing my flowers and bag on the chest, I start unpacking all of my purchases, shoving them in the wooden trunk and quickly jumping in the shower, eager to ready myself for the evening ahead. I'm careful not to wet my hair as I frantically wash the day away and not so frantically shave. Stepping out to grab a towel, I slam straight into a familiar, solid and very naked chest.
Oh!
I yelp, shocked.
Surprised to see me?
His voice is low and threatening. I slowly lift my gaze to his and find hooded dark green eyes and a deadly serious expression. Dominant Jessie has arrived, and he's completely screwed my plan up.
A little, I admit.
Thought so. We have a small issue to resolve, and we're going to do it now. I stand frozen in place, dripping wet and clutching the towel, with his menacing lean frame towering over me. That and his heavy breathing tell me I'm in no position to protest. But I just can't help myself. What if I say no?
You won't.
His self-assured tone pumps the blood faster through my veins as he pushes himself into me, the warm, slippery head of his erection probing at my lower stomach, prompting a small gasp of air to escape my mouth. His eyes burn with dark promise as I wait for him to make his move, anticipation having the muscles at my core convulsing.
Let's not play games, Ava. We both know you'll never say no to me.
His fingertip trails the length of my wet arm, across my shoulder and up my neck, until it reaches the hollow under my ear. I close my eyes. He's got me again.
Do you believe in fate, Ava?
His voice is silky smooth, but sure and serious. I open my eyes on a frown.
No, I answer honestly. I do.
He reaches down and cups me, his hot touch making me tense further.
I believe that you're supposed to be here with me. So you advising the concierge that you don't live here just fucks me off.
He accentuates the last three words, clearly and sharply. He reaches up with his other hand, grasping my nipple between his thumb and forefinger, and starts rolling, elongating my already stiff peak. I close my eyes as I'm sliced in two by waves of pleasure. He slowly inserts two fingers inside me.
Oh, God!
I moan, my head falling back, the towel dropped in favor of Jesse's shoulders. He takes advantage of the access to my neck and bends, pressing his lips to the center of my throat, licking a firm, wet stroke all the way up to my chin, his fingers sweeping big, punishing circles inside me, stretching me. He's preparing me for him.
I'm going to fuck you until you scream, Ava.
His husky voice is playing havoc with my desperation for him. I have every faith he will. He yanks my face down to meet his eyes. He's in control, but so frenzied too. I don't know what to make of it. The only thing I seem to be able to concentrate on is the wildfire spreading throughout my body and slamming straight between my thighs on a powerful, determined thud.
Go and kneel at the end of the bed. Face the headboard.
He throws his order at me, and I follow through immediately, taking myself to the bed, kneeling and resting my backside on my heels.
What has he got planned?
I feel his chest press up against my back, and he reaches in front of me, clasping my hands and flattening my palms. Then he guides them to my breasts and circles my palms over my nipples, so they lightly skim the tips, the burning friction having me pushing my breasts forward to get better contact. But he just tisks me and pulls my hands farther away. I protest with a disjointed cry. He pushes his mouth to my ear.
Do you trust me?
He asks. With my life. I confirm, a little confused. I hear him growl in approval.
Have you ever been handcuffed, Ava?
What? Before I have a chance to register what is happening, my arms are yanked behind my back and a pair of handcuffs are snapped over my wrists.
Where the fuck did they come from?
I jiggle my wrists, hearing the metal clank.
Keep your arms still, Ava.
He chastises me, letting my hands rest at the top of my bum.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
I've never mentally sworn so much.
This is so unexpected, and has just blown my truth fuck right out of the fucking water. He's never used playthings before. I do and I don't want to stop this, but I can't seem to utter the words.
I still myself and try my hardest to relax my arms,
while I consider whether he's done this before. I inwardly laugh. Of course he has, you stupid woman. Why didn't I see this coming? He leans into me. Good girl. He pulls the pins out of my hair and runs his hands through my long waves, spreading them across my bare back. I shiver and try to steady my erratic breathing. It's no good. My heart is sprinting in my chest, and nothing is going to slow it down. This is unknown territory to me. I have never, not for a minute, allowed myself to consider the prospect of being trussed up, defenseless, and at a man's mercy. It's ironic, really. I'm at Jesse's mercy, with or without handcuffs. He drags his fingertips slowly down the column of my spine to my arse, down the center crease of my bum, and then I feel his arm wrap around my lower stomach, his other hand pressing into my back. Down you go, he says softly as he eases me down to the mattress. I'm face planted on the mattress at the end of the bed, with Jesse standing behind me. I'm completely exposed and vulnerable. Do you realize how fucking amazing you look like this? His tone is full of approval, but I'll take his word for it. This isn't me at all. I'm not going to take your ass. He drops a kiss at the small of my back, and then I feel his solid cock skim my raw, damp flesh. A surge of relief flies through me. I don't think I could have handled that on top of the handcuffs. And then he's pushing at my opening. He grips my hips harshly, making me jerk. Don't move, he grits through a clenched jaw, and I force myself to still. I feel him enter me, and I instinctively tense around his lush invasion. You want it all the way? His voice is low and dark. I don't recognize it, but I'm desperate for full penetration. Yes, I splutter. Oh, God, help me. He withdraws his half-submerged arousal, and I moan at the loss of fullness. I need all of him. I push myself back impulsively, and then feel the sharp thrash of his hand across my backside. Fuck! I scream. The sting radiates across my cheek, and my shoulders tense against the bed. He pushes into me, but only halfway again. Mouth, he spits. Don't move. I start gasping, as the sting mingles with the delicious semi-invasion. Jesse, I plead. I know. He skates his palm across my cheek as he withdraws again, and I clench my eyes shut, willing my body to relent to my brain's instructions to relax. I can't do this, I whimper into the mattress as I pull at the handcuffs. It's too much, and it's come out of the blue. Or has it? I know his business. I know he can be animalistic during sex, and I love that. But he can also be romantic, gentle, and loving. Is this the next level? You can do it, Ava. Remember who you're with. He powers forward, slamming into me and knocking every ounce of breath from my lungs. I scream, my throat instantly hoarse. He pulls out slowly and with control. What did I say you would do, Ava? He asks on a grunt, slamming back into me again. There is no air in my lungs, and he's striking so deeply, my brain is being blown apart. No cognitive thought is possible, let alone speech. He repeats the mind-blowing move. Answer me, he roars and slaps my arse again. Scream! You said I would scream! I choke on the words as he smashes forward again. Are you screaming? Yes! He groans and then bangs forward again and again and again, driving me into orbit. Is that good, baby? Oh, God, it is. The sting of his slaps and the pounding of his cock have taken me to a whole new level of pleasure. Where do you live, Ava? He shouts on another ferocious blow. I want to cry. Cry with shock. Cry with pain. Cry with delight. Cry with absolute mind-numbing pleasure. My brain is in meltdown, and my body is wondering what the hell is going on. I can't think or see straight. This is wild, intense, and fucking amazing. But other more unwelcome thoughts are fighting to the front, worming their way into my scrambled brain. How many women has he done this to? How many women have had the pleasure of a retribution fuck? I feel sick.
Ava, where the fuck do you live?
He punches out each word. I'm numb. Numb with absolute, intense, mind-blowing bliss.
Don't make me ask again.
Here! I shout. I live here!
Damn fucking right you do.
His palm collides with my cheek again, reinforcing his words, before he's clenching my hips again and pulling me back on each and every hard, punishing blow against my body. Sparks start launching, the pressure at my core set to detonate loudly. I scream in delighted despair. This is way past severe. I really won't be able to walk tomorrow. Is this part of his plan to keep me at home? Because if so, it's going to work. I feel his palm collide with my arse again, and that last stinging slap rockets me into the most powerful, splintering climax I've ever experienced. I scream very loudly, an echo around the room, sore throat, despairing, thrilling, satisfied scream.
Fuck! Jesse roars.
I feel him tense, and then the grinding circles of his hips against my backside. He moans. I moan. I'm shaking all over. Proper, uncontrolled, tingling, rippling shakes. One of my wrists is released from the cuffs, and I pull my arm above my head as he collapses on top of me, flattening me beneath him. He holds himself inside me, jerking and kicking as he grinds around and around, extracting every modicum of pleasure from me. I'm surprised at myself and my revelation. I'm a filthy, kinky minx. The heady combination of pleasure and soreness has totally knocked me out, and despite my reservations, I'm glad I saw it through. That has just proved beyond a doubt I could never deny him. He lays his arms over mine and dots light kisses at the nape of my neck while moaning and lazily gyrating his hips into me. Friends, he whispers softly in my ear, nibbling my lobe. His soft velvet voice is a million miles away from the brutal sex lord I've just encountered.
Where did that come from? I ask. I'm still in shock. I've met many levels of his sexual capabilities, but this one has dazed me completely.
He drags my lobe between his teeth.
Tell me we're friends.
We're friends, I sigh.
Tell me where that came from.
He reaches up and releases my other wrist from the cuffs, the absence of the heavy burden a relief. He slips out of me and flips me over, holding my wrists at either side of my head. I look up at him, waiting for an answer, but it doesn't seem forthcoming. Should I keep my mouth shut? He eventually speaks.
I like hearing you scream, he grins, and I like knowing that I'm the one making you scream. Mission accomplished.
I have a sore throat, I pout. He drops a kiss on my lips.
Are you hungry?
No, I'm really not, and I'm not getting out of this bed either. It's not even 8 o'clock.
I'll go and get you some water, and then we can snuggle. Deal?
He asks, circling his nose with mine. Deal. He gives me a light kiss before peeling himself away from me, and I crawl up the bed, settling on my front and reveling in his scent all over the sheets. I'm absolutely bushed, and my arse stings a little. If I weren't so satisfied and sated,
I would be enormously pissed off that he has just gotten the upper hand. He doesn't know it, but he has just derailed my evening plans. I'm way too tired to pursue my truth fuck now. I roll over onto my back, stare up at the ceiling, and battle away the unwanted thoughts that are raiding my exhausted mind. How many women? I've maintained that I really don't want to know, but unreasonable curiosity is making its unwanted presence in my mind hard to ignore. If I weren't so shattered, I might give that direction of thought more attention, but I am, so I close my eyes and quietly thank Jesse for draining me of any energy to pursue it. Baby, have I fucked you unconscious? The bed dips, and I feel his warm, hard body flank me. I drag myself onto my side. Strawberry? He brushes the cool, plump fruit across my bottom lip, and I open to take a bite. Good? Very, I say around my mouthful of delicious, ripe strawberry. I'm definitely hungry for these. He starts grazing on his lip, his eyes darting around the room. Oh no, what's he thinking? You didn't mean it, did you? When you said you didn't live here. I pause mid-chew and look at the worried face in front of me. His frown line is slowly creeping across his brow. You want me to live with you, but you won't even tell me how old you are. I raise my eyebrows. He has got to see the weirdness in this. There's a whole lot of other stuff as well, stuff that I'm trying my hardest to ignore, and failing, but I'll stick to this minor detail for now. What difference does my age make? He asks, as he pops a strawberry into his own mouth. I shake my head, watching him chew. Okay, I swallow. What do I tell my parents when they ask about your profession? The cogs commence, and he shrugs, slipping another strawberry past my lips. Tell them I own a hotel. I accept his offering, but keep talking. I'm not going down easily here. What if they would like to see this hotel? I mumble around my munching. Then they can see it. He smiles. You thought it was a hotel. I scowl at him. You had me escorted around the premises by staff and locked me up in your office so no one could talk to me. Are you going to do the same with my mum and dad? I'll show them around on a quiet day, he answers swiftly. Has he thought about this already? I can't believe I'm talking about the possibility of him meeting my parents. What if they want to stay at this hotel? I fire back. They live in Newquay. So they'll be staying in a hotel if they come to visit. He starts laughing. Should I put them in the communal room? I jab him in the stomach, which only serves to increase his amusement. I'm glad you find my turmoil so funny. I grab a strawberry and shove it in my mouth. He recovers from his laughing fit and turns serious eyes onto mine. Ava, it would seem you're looking for any excuse to get out of this. He reaches over and drags his finger across my bottom lip. If your parents ask how old I am, then make an age up, however old you want me to be, I'll be that. If they come to visit, then they will stay here. There are many spare bedrooms, all with bathrooms. Stop fighting it. Now is that all? He arches an expectant brow at me. Are you going to trample my parents? If they get in my way... he says seriously. I have a mental meltdown on the spot. I need to avoid the meeting my parents scenario for as long as possible, maybe even forever. Why were the police at the manor? I shoot at him. He rolls his eyes. I told you, some idiot is playing silly games. What sort of silly games? Ava, it's nothing for you to worry about. End of... He presents me with another strawberry and I reluctantly take it. He's trying to stop me from asking irritating questions by keeping my mouth full. What about this mystery woman? She's still a mystery, he answers swiftly and shortly.
So you asked Clive?
No, Ava, I haven't had time. He's very annoyed.
He bloody has asked Clive, and he's also asked him to keep his mouth shut.
I need to be cute here, too. I scowl at him, but he continues.
When can I take you shopping?
What?
He must catch my alarmed face, because his irritated expression softens immediately.
I owe you a dress, and with the anniversary party coming up, I thought we could kill two birds with one stone.
I have plenty of dresses, I grumble. A shopping trip with Jessie is at the top of my avoid-to-do list. I'll walk out of the store looking like an Eskimo.
Are you going to defy me at every turn today, lady?
He narrows his greens on me, and I give him my own little scowl in return. But I'm too exhausted to quarrel. Instead, I move myself into his chest and snuggle up to him. He might be an arrogant, challenging ass, but I'm completely in love with him, and there is nothing I can do about it.
Chapter 10. I peel my eyes open and find myself tucked closely into Jessie's chest. It's not quite daylight, which means it's very early, and Jessie isn't awake, so it's definitely before 5. My brain snaps awake immediately, and I begin the meticulous task of freeing myself from his body without disturbing him. It's hard. He seems to hold on to me as tight in his sleep as he does when he's awake. I tentatively edge myself away from him, pausing and tensing every time he shifts or sighs in his sleep. My body is rigid as I creep my way to the edge of the bed, and once I'm free, I release the breath that I've been holding and look down at my handsome man with 2 days' worth of stubble. I want to jump straight back into bed with him, but I resist. What I have planned spurs me to leave him sleeping peacefully while I rootle quietly through my bag for my phone. It's 5 o'clock. Shit! Okay, I've got to be quick, or he'll be waking soon to drag me around the streets of London on one of his torturous marathons. I creep about the bedroom like a naked burglar, retrieving my stash from the wooden trunk and easing out the contents. The bag crumples, and I grit my teeth, freezing in place as he rolls onto his back on a moan. I remain like a statue until I'm sure that he's settled, then make my way over to the bed, padding quietly across the thick carpet. I gently grasp his wrist and tug it up over his head to the wooden headboard. I struggle. His arm is heavy, but I manage to get him in position and slip the handcuff over his wrist, then attach it to one of the wooden bars on the headboard. I stand back and admire my handiwork, feeling rather pleased with myself. Even if he does wake up now, he's not going anywhere. I collect the other set of handcuffs and make my way around the other side of the bed. I have to kneel on the bed to reach for his arm, but I'm not so worried about waking him now that I have at least one arm secured, although this will work better if he can't lay any hands on me. I maneuver his arm cautiously above his head and fasten the other handcuff around the wrist of his damaged hand. It looks much better, but I'm mindful that this could hurt if he fights against them. I'm smug. That was way easier than I thought, and he's still dead to the world. I practically dance my way back over to the bag and finish my preparations before slipping into some stunning black lace underwear that I picked up on my last-minute shopping expedition. Oh, God, he's going to go spare. I make my way back over to my sprawled, restrained, naked god and climb up to straddle his hips. He stirs, and I smile when I feel him begin to harden under me. I sit patiently and wait. It's not long before his beautiful lashes start flickering and his lids start to twitch. His eyes open and find mine immediately, his morning erection now in full firmness beneath me. Hey, baby,
His throat is husky as he squints and gains focus. I run my eyes down his torso, his muscles bunched and taut from the position of his arms. Hey, I smile brightly, and watch closely as he gains full consciousness and then moves his arms, clanging the metal on the wooden headboard. The abrupt yank on his wrists has his eyes snapping wide open, and I hold my breath, watching his sleepy face as he frowns and looks up over his head. He jiggles his arms again. What the fuck? His voice is still hoarse. He swings his eyes to mine. They are all wide and stunned. Ava, why the fuck am I handcuffed to the bed? I fight the grin from my face. I'm introducing a new kind of fuck to our relationship, Jesse, I state calmly. Mouth, he rattles his wrists again and takes another look at his restrained hands. I see realization dawn on his handsome face as he turns his eyes back to me. These are not my handcuffs, he says warily. No, and there are two pairs, I'm sure you've noticed. I can't believe how calm I'm being. I'm crapping it. So, like I was saying, I've invented a new fuck. And guess what? I ask with a little excitement in my voice. He doesn't scorn me this time. Instead, he arches a nervous brow. What? Oh, I could cuddle him. I thought of it just for you. I grind myself into him teasingly, and his chest expands, his jaw tensing. I love you. Oh, fucking hell, he groans. I place my hands on his chest and lower myself down to his face. He watches me as I descend, his eyes shimmering in anticipation and short pants of breath escaping his parted lips. How old are you? I murmur, brushing my lips lightly over his. He lifts his head to try and make better contact, but I pull back. He scowls, dropping his head back down. 33, he pants, and then moans in despair as I grind down again. I drop my mouth to his neck and nibble my way up to his ear, licking and lapping as I go. Tell me the truth, I whisper, and then bite his lobe gently. His cheeks puff out. Holy shit, Ava. I'm not telling you how old I am. I sit up on his chest and shake my head at him. Why? His lips form a straight, annoyed line. Undo the cuffs. I want to touch you. Ah. No, I toss back at him, grinding down again, rubbing in just the right spot. I'm not affected myself, but I have to keep my control here. Fuck! He yanks his hands and jerks his legs slightly, causing me to jolt forward. Remove the fucking cuffs, Ava! I steady myself. No. For fuck's sake, he roars. Don't play games with me, lady! Oh, he's angry. I don't think you're in a position to tell me what to do, I remind him coolly. He stills, but he's heaving long, heavy, and very frustrated breaths. Are you going to stop being unreasonable and tell me? His eyes narrow good and proper. No. Oh, he really is a stubborn ass. Fine, I say calmly. I fall down onto his chest and clasp his face in my palms, and he gazes up at me, waiting for what I'm going to do. I plant my mouth on his and moan as he parts his lips, his tongue darting out, seeking mine. I pull back. He growls in frustration. Shifting off his lap, I wickedly give his erection a long, slow lick straight up his shaft. Oh, fucking hell, he moans despairingly. Ava! I smile, sitting on my heels between his legs, before collecting my weapon of mass destruction and holding it up in front of him. His head lifts, his eyes nearly falling out when he registers what I'm clasping. Oh no, Ava, I swear to God. He throws his head back on the bed.
You can't do this to me. Fuck!
I smile and flick the on switch of the Diamante-embellished vibrator that Jesse took an immediate dislike to on our shopping trip in Camden. He really doesn't want to share me with anyone or anything. The vibrating kicks in and he moans, thrashing his head to the side. This is going to kill him. Wow, I blurt, getting the full force of the vibrator in my hand. This is one powerful machine, I muse to myself. His eyes are clenched shut, the muscles of his jaw ticking.
Ava, remove the fucking cuffs!
He grates the words through his clenched teeth. I couldn't have hoped for a better response. I will get his age out of him even if I have to keep him here all morning. In fact, I hope he holds out for a little while. I think I might enjoy this. I turn the vibrator off, placing it down on the bed, and he slowly opens his eyes. I wait for them to fall on mine. Are you going to tell me how old you are? I ask, completely composed.
No, I'm not.
Why are you being such a stubborn ass?
Am I not your stubborn god?
He asks on a small smirk. He won't be smirking in a minute. I lift myself to my knees and hold his eyes while I tuck my thumbs into the top of my lace knickers. This morning, you're an ass. I slowly draw my knickers down my thighs to my knees, and he follows their path with lust-filled eyes. I can see the pulse in his erection beating regularly. Wouldn't you like to help me out here? My voice is seductive and soft as I slowly lick my fingers and slide them down my front to my thighs. His cheeks puff out again as he watches my hand slip between my legs.
Ava, undo these cuffs now so I can fuck you until you're seeing stars.
His voice is calm, but I know he's anything but. I slip my fingers over my clitoris and brush gently in a little gasp of air. It's not Jesse, but it still feels good. Tell me.
No.
He rests his head back.
Remove the cuffs.
I shake my head at my stubborn man and drop my hands to either side of his hips. Stars? Oh, he'll be the one seeing stars. I rest my lips on his lower stomach, next to his scar, and circle my tongue in a few slow, sweeping laps before crawling up his body and kicking off my knickers on my way. I look down at him, but he refuses to open his eyes, so I kiss the corner of his mouth. It works. His head turns instinctively, and his lips part as he takes my mouth. I press down on his groin, my wetness causing me to slide up and down with ease.
Oh, Jesus, Ava, please.
Tell me. I bite his bottom lip and drag it through my teeth, but he just shakes his head lightly, so I break our fused mouths. Fine. Have it your way. I rise and reposition myself back between his thighs and collect my weapon of mass destruction from the bed.
Put it down.
His tone is full of warning, but I ignore him. I flick it on again, saying nothing.
Ava, I swear to God.
The anger is returning. I hold his eyes as I slowly take the vibrator down to the apex of my thighs.
Don't.
He throws his head back in total misery. I can't believe he's putting himself through this. He can stop it in a heartbeat. Damn it. I want him to look at me. I swiftly change my destination and hold the vibrator out, slowly skimming it over his beautiful beating cock. He jerks erratically. The bed shakes.
Fuck, Ava. Fucking fuck. Fuck. Fuck,
he yells, but his eyes are still firmly closed. I can't make him look at me, but I'll make damn sure he hears me. I return the vibrator to myself and rest the drumming head at the top of my clitoris. Holy fucking shit! I gasp, my knees shaking, as I jerk at the full force of its power stabbing me straight at my core. Oh, God, I moan, and then increase the pressure slightly. That feels really nice. His eyes snap open, his breathing all over the place, and a heavy shimmer of sweat has formed a river in the crease on his forehead. His face is pure torture. I almost feel guilty.
Ava, all of your pleasure comes from me.
Not today, I muse, closing my eyes on a sigh.
Ava, he barks, clanging the cuffs against the headboard. Fuck, Ava, you're pushing it.
I keep my eyes closed. I hum, jerking slightly as the consistent vibrations tickle the tip of my clit.
I'm 37. For fuck's sake, woman. I'm 37.
My eyes fly open, and my mouth drops open in shock, the vibrator falling to the bed.
He told me? It bloody worked.
I want to do a little jig on the bed and scream to the heavens in glory. Why didn't I think of this before? I'm not going to try and kid myself that I will get away with this again. He'll probably sleep with one eye open for the rest of his life, so perhaps I should take advantage of his vulnerable state and pump him for some more answers, like where that scar came from, how many women there have been, and what the hell the police are doing at the manor. Oh, and the mystery woman, and Sarah. He glares at me, and I'm suddenly yanked straight out of my mental celebration dance and right into panic.
Take the fucking cuffs off.
He emphasizes each word slowly on a hiss. Oh, bloody hell. In all of my meticulous planning and execution of the truth fuck, I hadn't given a second thought to the aftermath. He's seething mad, and now I've got to release him. What is he going to do? I sprint through my options, but it doesn't take long because there are only two. Release him and take my punishment, or leave him handcuffed to the bed forever. I watch him with wide, cautious eyes as he watches me with dark, furious ones. What am I going to do? I place my hands on his strong thighs and inch myself up his body until my face is hovering above his. I need to lighten his mood. Soothing my hands through his hair, I drop my lips onto his. I still love you, I mumble around my kiss. Maybe it's the reassurance he needs. 11 years is nothing, really. What's the problem? He's still my handsome, roguish god. He moans as I give his mouth some extra special treatment.
Good. Now take the cuffs off.
I kiss my way to his neck and nuzzle. Are you mad at me?
Fucking crazy mad, Ava.
I sit up and look at him. He really is crazy mad, and now I'm shitting myself. I give him my best cheeky grin. Can't you be crazy in love?
I'm that too. Remove the cuffs.
He looks at me expectantly. I shift to ease myself up and shudder when his arousal falls to my opening, the throbbing wet head slipping over my entrance. He bucks.
Damn it, Ava. Take the fucking cuffs off.
He's completely deranged, and now I know I'm not taking the cuffs off. I get off the bed and stand at the side, looking at him rage. What are you going to do? I ask nervously.
Take them off.
He looks almost murderous. Not until you tell me what you're going to do. His breathing is heavy, his chest expanding.
I'm going to fuck you until you beg me to stop, and then you're going to run 14 miles.
He raises his head and stabs me with ferocious greens.
And we won't be stopping for a muscle rub or a coffee break.
What? I'll take the fuck, but I'm not running anywhere, except out of this penthouse. He already made me do 10 miles yesterday. That will be his way of regaining control, making me do something that I really don't want to do, and I definitely don't want to run 14 miles. I don't want to go for a run, I state as calmly as I can. You can't make me. His eyebrows jump up. Ava, you need to remember who holds the power in this relationship. I back away in disgust, and then flick my eyes to his restrained wrists before returning them to him. I'm sorry. Who has the power? My sarcasm only serves to notch his fury level up a little more, if that was possible. Ava, I'm warning you. I can't believe you're being so cranky over this. It was okay for you to handcuff me.
I was in control.
That's stupid.
You're a power freak, I shout back, and he wriggles a little more. I'm going to get a shower.
I stomp off.
I'm only a power freak with you, he yells at my back. Ava!
I slam the bathroom door and remove my bra. The arrogant, power-obsessed, controlling arse. My delight in the fact that my truth fuck worked has been well and truly trampled. I throw myself in the shower and listen to my name being yelled repeatedly. If I weren't so affronted, I would laugh. He really doesn't like not being able to touch me, and he really, really doesn't like relinquishing power. I shower and brush my teeth at a leisurely rate. It's still super early. I have plenty of time. When I walk back into the bedroom, I find Jesse has calmed down slightly, but there is definitely still a hint of anger in his expression as he looks up at me.
Baby, come and free me, please.
His sudden turn in mood has me suspicious and on my guard. I know his game, and I'm not falling for it. As soon as I free him, he'll be on me like a lion before manhandling me into my running kit and dragging me around the streets of London. I'm not denying that I would love to have him all over me right this minute, but I'm not hanging about to be tortured by 14 miles. Unfortunately, they come as a package deal. I sit myself in front of the floor-length mirror to start drying my hair, glancing at the reflection every now and again, seeing him watching me. But he just scowls and throws his head back like a brooding schoolboy whenever I catch him. I apply my makeup and smother myself in cocoa butter, and when I put on the cream lace underwear set that Jesse bought me, I hear him whimper. I smile smugly to myself. I may as well. I don't know how long I'm going to be holding this power. I slip my white ruffle blouse on with my black slim-fit trousers and black heels. I'm ready. Walking over to my handcuffed man, I lean down to drop a long, lingering kiss onto his parted lips. I don't know why I'm doing this. My bravado is commendable. He sighs and brings his knees up so the soles of his feet are flat on the bed as I reach down and wrap my hand around his still erect cock. I'm seriously in for it when he catches me. He jerks. Ava, I love you so fucking much, but if you don't undo these cuffs, I'm going to fucking strangle you. His voice is a mixture of pleasure and pain. I smile around his mouth and give him a chaste kiss on the lips before leaning down and kissing my way from his chest to his solid cock, and then all the way to the tip, finishing off with a little swirl before taking him deep into my mouth. Ava, please, he moans. I release him and retrieve the key to the handcuffs from the chest of drawers. As I walk back over, he lets out a relieved breath. I don't know why. I'm not freeing him completely. I undo his damaged hand, and it falls limply to the bed. A pang of guilt assaults me as he gingerly flexes his fist to try and get some life back into it. Making my way over to the chest, I place the key back on top. What are you doing? He asks on a frown. Where is your phone? Why? The confusion in his face is clear. You'll need it. Where is it?
It's in my suit jacket. Ava, just give me the key.
He's losing his patience again. I scan the room and spot his jacket on the floor, where he obviously dumped it last night before he pounced on me in the bathroom. I find his phone in the inside pocket and place it on the bedside table, just out of reach. I don't want him calling for assistance before I make my escape. Fetching my bag, I stride out of the bedroom, leaving him a massive mess of unexploded mail. I'm so going to cop it later, but at least I released one hand. It might be his damaged one, but he'll still be able to sort himself out, if he doesn't grip too hard. Chapter 11.
Hello, Flower.
Patrick comes out of his office as I take my seat.
You're bright and early this morning.
He sits on the edge of my desk and performs his usual snort of disgust as the desk performs its usual creak of protest.
What have you got to tell me?
Not much. I turn on my computer. I have a meeting with Mr. Vanderhaus at lunchtime to go over my designs.
Oh, good. What about Mr. Ward? Have you heard from him yet?
I feel my face flood with heat as I turn to my computer. No, I'm not sure when he's back from his business trip, I reply, mentally praying he leaves it right there.
It's been nearly 2 weeks, hasn't it? I wonder what's keeping him,
he asks, and I suspect my boss is frowning, but I can't look to confirm it. I cough. I really don't know. Patrick rises from my desk on a long creak.
Oh, by the way, our Sally is poorly. She won't be in today,
he says as he makes his way back into his office. Sally is ill? That's not like her. Oh, it was her second date last night. Either it went very well, and she's pulling a sickie to cavort in bed all day with Mr. Mystery, or it went very badly, and she's pulled a sickie to mope in bed all day with a box of tissues. I guiltily suspect it's the latter. Poor Sal. I sag in my chair on a long exhale, and then jump when I hear Angel seeping from my bag. Oh, dear Lord, he's obviously freed himself. I'm not answering it. It rings off, and immediately rings again. But it's my normal ringtone this time. I scoop my phone from my bag and take Miss Quinn's call. Good morning, Miss Quinn, I greet cheerfully. Hi, Ava. Please, it's Ruth. I was just checking in. Have you managed to get the ball rolling yet? Yes. I've prepared a schedule of fees for my services, Ruth, and I've drafted a few ideas to send over. Brilliant! She's so enthusiastic. I look forward to receiving them. Where do we go from here? Well, if you're happy with my fee structure and draft ideas, then we can start putting together some firm designs. Great! I'm so excited! I smile. That much is obvious. Okay, I'll get the fee structure and drafts over to you by the end of play today. Bye, Ruth. Thanks, Ava! She hangs up, and I immediately set about scanning the designs into my computer. I love working with people who are as passionate about their home as I am. As 10 o'clock hits, I've been in the office for 3 hours, and I've got mountains of work done. I swing around in my chair to go and make a coffee, nearly having a seizure, when I'm confronted with my arrogant god, who's looking down at me with raised, cunning eyebrows. His handsome face spreads into his customary roguish grin. I'm instantly on high alert, and he looks bloody glorious in his grey suit and pale blue shirt open at the collar with no tie. He has 2 days' worth of stubble. My eyes are delighted, but my mind is racing with uncertainties. How lovely to see you, Ava, he says smoothly as he reaches forward and puts his hand out. His jacket sleeve rides up, revealing his gold Rolex. Shit. I go stone cold when I see a collection of red welts around his wrist, his Rolex doing nothing to conceal them. It's his damaged hand, too. I flick my startled eyes up to him, and he nods in acknowledgement. I mentally kick my stupid self around the office. I've hurt him. I feel hideous. I don't blame him for being so furious. I place my hand in his, but I don't grip it. I don't want to hurt him any more. I'm so sorry, I whisper the words quietly, full of remorse. My unreasonable desire to know his age has marked him. I really am going to be in for it. I know you are, he answers coldly.
Ah, Mr. Ward!
Patrick's cheerful voice invades my ears as he approaches my desk from his office. I release my hold of Jesse.
How very good to see you. I was just asking Ava if she had heard from you.
Mr. Peterson, how are you?
Jesse gives him his full-on melt-worthy smile, usually reserved for women.
Very good. How was your business trip? Patrick asks.
Jesse's eyes swing to mine briefly before returning to Patrick's.
I secured my assets, he replies, completely composed. Did you receive the deposit I made?
Patrick's face lights up.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
I notice he doesn't advise Mr. Ward that it is far too much for an initial upfront payment.
Good. As I said before, I'm eager to get things moving. My unexpected trip has put us a bit behind.
Of course. I'm sure Ava will sort you out.
Patrick places his hand on my shoulder affectionately, and Jesse's eyes fall straight onto it.
I'm sure she will, he muses quietly, his eyes still firmly fixed on Patrick's hand.
He's 60 years old, silver-haired, and about 5 stone overweight. Surely Jesse can't be threatened by my big, cuddly bear of a boss. He shoots his eyes back to Patrick.
I was going to ask Ava if she would like to join me for some brunch, so we can go over a few things. You don't mind.
That last part was definitely not a question. He's trampling.
Be my guest,
Patrick chirps happily. I notice he doesn't ask me.
Actually, I have an appointment at lunchtime, I pipe up.
I point to the page in my new diary, which is absent of the big black, permanent marker lines that Jesse put through every day of my last diary. I want to delay this confrontation for as long as possible. I'm not at all comfortable with a wily look all over his handsome face. But then he catches a glimpse of my new diary and he frowns, his jaw ticking wildly. Yes, I replaced it.
That's not until noon, Jesse points out, and I cringe.
I won't keep you too long, he adds on a husky, promising voice that also harbors a bit of threat.
There you go,
Patrick sings as he walks off to his office.
It was nice to see you, Mr. Ward.
I sit, tapping my front tooth frantically with my nail, while I try to think of a way out of this. There is none, and even if I had a valid reason, I would only be delaying the inevitable. Looking up at the man I love beyond measure, I am literally trembling in my heels. Shall we? Jesse asks, as he puts his hands in his pockets. I collect my phone from my desk and stuff it in my bag, along with my file for the life building. I'll need to head straight to the Royal Park for my meeting with Michael after my meeting with Jesse. He holds the door open for me, and Tom comes barreling through before I have a chance to exit. His eyes go all wide and shocked when he clocks who's holding the door.
Mr. Ward, he splutters.
It's ridiculous for him to be addressing Jesse so formally. He's been out drinking and dancing with him. Tom, Jesse nods, all businesslike.
I'm just going for a business meeting with Mr. Ward.
I tilt my head to the side and flash a telling look. I hear Jesse laugh lightly.
Oh, I see. A business meeting, huh?
Tom chuckles. I could kick him in the shins. And when he performs an over-the-top wink, I decide that the next time I see Tom, I will kick him in the shins. Exiting hastily onto the street, I'm relieved to be away from the office and the possibility of being ratted out, but nervous that I am now pretty much at Jesse's mercy. I'm not deluded enough to believe that just because we're in public, he won't have me pinned to the nearest wall as soon as he can. We walk along, side by side, until we hit Piccadilly. I don't know where we're going, but I keep up with him. He makes no attempt to take my hand and doesn't speak. I'm getting more apprehensive by the second. I glance up at him and find his face is completely straight, and he doesn't return my gaze, although I know he knows that I'm looking at him.
"Excuse me, have you got the time?"
a mature businesswoman asks Jesse. He takes his hand from his pocket and looks at his watch. I wince at the sight of the marks on his wrist. His hand is still bruised from the beating he gave his car, and I've added to it. It's 10:15. He flashes his smile, reserved only for women, and she pools on the pavement in front of him. I'm spiked with immense possessiveness as she gushes a thank you. She's probably closer to Jesse in age than I am, the brazen hussy. You can't possibly tell me she hasn't got a phone she could check, and why didn't she ask the bold, sweaty, overweight businessman in front? Rolling my eyes, I wait for Jesse to take the initiative and lead on, and after he's spent a few moments blasting the woman with his knockout smile, ensuring she gets the full-on experience, he carries on his way, me following. As I look back, I see the woman glancing over her shoulder. How desperate and unashamed can someone be? But then I laugh to myself. I'm that desperate when it comes to Jesse, and I'm also completely unashamed. We cross the road and approach the Ritz, and I'm stunned when the door is opened for us. Jesse signals for me to enter. We're having brunch at the Ritz? I say nothing as he leads me to the restaurant, and we're seated in the most obscenely regal space. This isn't Jesse at all, and it certainly isn't me. We'll have the Eggs Benedict twice, both on granary, a cappuccino, extra shot, no chocolate, and a strong black coffee. Thank you. Jesse hands the menu to the waiter.
Certainly, sir.
He picks up my fancy fabric napkin and lays it across my lap and repeats the same carefully executed move on Jesse before backing away from the table. I gaze around at the affluent surroundings full of well-bred, wealthy folk. I feel uncomfortable. How is your day going? He asks casually, with no hint of any emotion in his tone. This just increases my unease further, the question dragging me back to his dark presence across the swanky table. He removes the napkin from his lap and places it on the table, his face expressionless as he regards me. What the hell should I say? It's not even 10:30, and I'm already having a pretty exclusive day. So far I've discovered his age, used a vibrator, handcuffed him to the bed and left him there, and now I'm having a late breakfast in the Ritz. They're certainly not your usual daily happenings. I'm not sure, I answer honestly, because I have a feeling there are going to be a few more exclusives I can add to that list. His eyes lower, so his super lashes fan his cheekbones. Shall I tell you how my day is going?
If you like, I whisper.
My voice is full of nervousness. I'm not even confident that he wouldn't cause a scene in the most posh hotel in London in front of the most posh people in London. He sits back in his chair
and hammers me with his potent green gaze. Well, my morning run was waylaid by a challenging little temptress, who handcuffed me to our bed and tortured me for information. She then abandoned me, leaving me helpless and in desperate need of her. He starts fiddling with a fork at his place setting, and I wilt under his stare. He takes a deep breath. I eventually got hold of my phone, which she left just out of reach. He pinches his thumb and index finger together, and then waited for a member of my staff to come and free me. I ran 14 miles in my personal best time to expel some of the pent-up frustrations that she presented me with, and now I'm looking at her beautiful face and wanting to bend her over this wonderfully dressed table and fuck her into next week. I gasp at his crass words, spoken with no concern, in the middle of the Ritz. Oh, God, what must John think of me? I hope he laughed. He seems to find Jesse's reactions and behavior toward me quite amusing. The waiter places our coffees down, and we both nod a thank you before he backs away again. I pick up my fancy, probably solid, silver spoon, and start slowly stirring my coffee. You have had quite an action-packed morning. I glance up nervously and find him fighting a grin. He wants to laugh, but he wants to be angry with me too, and it makes me feel so much better. He eventually sighs. Ava, don't ever do that to me again. You were crazy mad. I breathe on a long, relieved exhale, disintegrating on my yellow throne. I was way, way past crazy mad, Ava. He reaches up and starts circling his temples, as if trying to rid himself